Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, singing Alleluia, Alleluia.
Welcome to the Go and Teach Bible Study broadcast presented by the Monte Vista Church of Christ in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Ken Leach, preacher at Monte Vista, and your host for the next 30 minutes or so. The great prophet Isaiah once said, "Come, let us reason together." That expresses well what I hope to achieve on these radio programs.
Alleluia.
My wife and I like to get our exercise by going to a nearby mall and walking. And at the close of the holiday season, we find that there are many stores, if not all of the stores, that advertise great sales, 50% off. I saw the other day 75% off. Today when we were walking, I noticed another sign. It said, "All sales are final." Now you know what that means, as I do. That means that when you buy it, it's yours. You can't bring it back. You can't change your mind. It's a final thing. Is something that can't be altered or undone. That's our subject that we began last week in this Go and Teach radio program. Final things that can't be altered or undone. The first final thing that we talked about was the judgment. We talked about the fact that the Bible is clear in stressing the certainty of the judgment. We talked about the fact that the Scriptures not only stress the certainty of the judgment, but also that Jesus will be the judge. We also talked about some things that will not be used by Jesus as a standard of judgment, and then we looked at some things that will be used by Jesus as the standard of judgment. We noted last week that judgment is not like a trial room sitting in our society. It's not where evidence is presented and then a decision is made concerning destiny. Judgment is a period of pronouncements. The time when you and I are building a case for our eternal destiny is now, while we're alive. When we face Jesus in judgment, our destiny is set. And we will learn why we'll spend eternity in heaven or why we'll spend eternity in hell. Those are the only two destinations. I'd like to begin our thought process today by going back to a passage of Scripture that we considered last week. It's found in the 25th chapter of the book of Matthew, perhaps the most profound revelation concerning our subject that there is. Couple of parables therein, the words of Jesus, and then Jesus answers the questions for us, why? Why heaven or why hell? If you have your Bible, turn to Matthew the 25th chapter, and let's begin reading in verse 1. "Then the kingdom of heaven will be compared to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were prudent. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the prudent took oil in flasks along with their lamps. Now while the bridegroom was delaying, they all got drowsy and began to sleep. But at midnight there was a shout, 'Behold, the bridegroom! Come out to meet him!' Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the prudent, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the prudent answered, saying, 'No, there will not be enough for us and you too. Go instead to the dealers and buy some for yourselves.' And while they were going away to make the purchase, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut. And later the other virgins came and said, 'Lord, Lord, open for us.' But he answered and said, 'Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Be on the alert then, for you do not know the day or the hour. For it's just like a man about to go on a journey who called his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to their own ability. And he went on his journey. Immediately the one who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and gained 5 more talents. In the same manner, the one who had received 2 talents gained 2 more. But the one who had received 1 talent went away and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. And the one who had received the 5 talents came up and brought 5 more talents and said, Master, you entrusted 5 talents to me. See, I have gained 5 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And the one who had received the 2 talents came up and said, Master, you entrusted to me 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And the one who had received 1 talent also came up and said, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. I was afraid, and I went away and hid your talent in the ground. But see, you have what is yours. But his master answered and said to him, You wicked, lazy slave, you knew that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have put my money in the bank, and on my arrival I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has shall more be given, and he shall have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. And cast out that worthless slave into the outer darkness. In that place there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. But when the Son of Man comes in glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne, and all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them from one another, as a shepherd separates sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. And then the king will say to those on his right, Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat, and I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. And then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me. Then he will also say to those on his left, Depart from me, accursed ones, into eternal fire, which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick, and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they themselves will answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not take care of you? And then he will answer them, saying, Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Why would one be saved? Verse 34 through 40 of Matthew 25. Why would one be condemned? Verses 41 through 46 of Matthew 25. You know, there's going to be a lot of surprises on that day of judgment. Some people will be very surprised. But Matthew 7 in verses 21 through 23 that we read last week, and that we'll read again in just a moment, should have instructed us so that there will be no surprise on judgment. In Matthew, the 7th chapter, verse 21, Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' But I say to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." So those who do it their way instead of God's way will not find heaven as a end destiny. They will not find heaven as their eternal home. They will find that bitter and terrible place called hell. 1 John 3 and verse 4 defines lawlessness, iniquity. Isaiah 59 and verse 2 says it is that which separates us from God. Those things are important for us to consider. Let's think about some of the surprises that many people will have on Judgment Day. The unbelievers will be surprised with the certainty of judgment. They did not expect to witness such an event, but they'll be there. Some will be surprised that everybody will be there, even those that they thought were saved without judgment. Romans 14, verse 12 has taught that for centuries. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 1 says, "I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom." So there you go. The living and the dead will be at judgment. That encompasses everyone, doesn't it? Some will be surprised that Christ is the judge. They've spent their entire physical lifetime denying the deity of Christ, but here at judgment, he's the judge. John 5, verse 22, John 5, verse 27, Matthew 25, verses 31 through 33 that we've read today, Acts 17, verse 31, Romans 14 and verse 10, and 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 10 have taught that Jesus Christ will be the judge, and that those words were written in the first century. There'll be some that are surprised because the Bible is the standard of authority. No traditions of man will be the standard that Jesus will use to judge us. No modern-day revelations will be the standard that Jesus uses to judge us. No convention legislation will be the plan that Jesus uses to judgment. His word is final. It is unalterable. It has been once delivered to the saints. We've known that all along through a study of Psalms 96 and verse 13, Acts 17 verse 31, and John 12 and verse 48. So it shouldn't be a surprise, but it will be to many. Some will be surprised at the totality of Revelation at the judgment. Hidden things will be revealed. Motives will be revealed. Attitudes will be revealed. Our innermost thoughts will be laid open by the judge. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 14, 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 5, Revelation 2 and verse 23, Matthew 12, verse 36 and 37, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, Revelation 20, verse 13 and 14 state that the revelation at judgment will be total. But there is one thing that will be left out, and that's those sins for which we are forgiven while we live upon this earth. After we die, there will be no thousand-year reign to change our eternal destiny. There will be no physical throne of David in a physical place called Israel. Those things are the figment of man's imagination. Many will be surprised at who is lost. A system of religion called universalism has taught that no one will be lost, that God will not send anyone to hell. Many feel that if you're a good moral person, you'll be safe in eternity. that you don't need to be concerned with what they call organized religion. In fact, they disdain organized religion. But God is a God of decency and in order. His message to mankind has been of the greatest organization of anything in history. Many feel that there will be more people saved than are lost. They'll agree that some of the terrible characters in history will be lost, but the overwhelming majority will be saved. But that's not what the Bible says. I challenge you to read Matthew the 7th chapter, verse 13 and 14 again, and ask yourself the question, will there be more people lost, or will there be more people saved? There are those who believe the rich and famous on the earth will be rich and famous in heaven. But that's not the standard of judgment that the Bible teaches. In fact, there'll be many religious people that are lost. We've read that from the words of Jesus Christ in our lesson today. Many will be surprised at who is not lost. We've been told by those who believe the doctrine called Calvinism that children are born with sins. They inherit the sins of their parents. But yet the Bible does not teach that. Those people will be surprised that those who died before they were old enough to know right from wrong are saved and not lost. There will be those that are surprised at those narrow-minded religious nuts that keep preaching that you have to have authority for the things that you believe will be saved and not lost. Some will be surprised at the finality of judgment. There's no appellate court at judgment. As we've mentioned before, no thousand years to obey that which should have been obeyed during our lifetime. Finally, judgment is a great meeting place that no one will miss. Romans 14 and verse 10 says that all will be before the judgment seat of Christ. Philippians 2 and verse 10 says, every knee shall bow. It'll be different, this thing called judgment. It'll be different than the religious services of today. It'll be different in that everyone will be there. There will be no excuses. I suppose that there are preachers and elders that could write a book, a thick book, with excuses given for absenteeism to the worship services of the Lord, but that will not be the case at judgment. The overwhelming reason for this inattention to religious things today is a lack of interest, but a lack of interest will not keep us from attending judgment. We will subscribe this day to Psalms 29 and verse 2, which says, ascribe to the Lord the glory due to his name, worship the Lord in holy array. Yes, we will worship the Lord, our judge. We have opportunity to worship him now. We will worship him on judgment. The Bible is full of excuse givers. It began with the beginning of time. You recall the story of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. When God came and asked them that fateful question concerning their eating of the fruit that he had commanded them not to eat, they made excuses. Adam said, it was the woman, and incidentally, God, you gave her to me. Eve said, it was the serpent that caused me to do this. But as you remember from the story, the responsibility was theirs. Excuses does not alleviate responsibility. It didn't alleviate responsibility when Moses came down from Mount Sinai after being given the laws on the tablets by God and saw the Israelites dancing around that golden calf. It didn't matter that Aaron said, we didn't know if you were coming back, so what could I do? It wasn't a system of logic, it was a system of law. Those virgins who missed the wedding feast that we read about in Matthew 25 had excuses, didn't they? But the door was not open, and the master says, I don't know you. Human nature really hasn't changed since those events. Self-interest is still the why for irregular attendance to worship services. Whole families that miss because one has some kind of a minor illness that would not keep them from going to work or going to school. Nobody will be excused at judgment because they didn't like the preacher or they didn't like the elders or the Bible class subjects or the sermon topic. No one will be absent from judgment because they're on a fishing trip or a camping trip or attending a sporting event or a concert or at a religious camp or watching a television special. Nobody will be excused from judgment because they're working or on vacation or just too tired or picking some friend or relative up at the airport. The weather won't keep us away from judgment. No school homework or special school activity will. No graduation exercises that happen to be held on Wednesday night will keep us away from judgment. All will be there, and there will be only two decisions handed out on Judgment Day. One of two decisions: condemned or commended, saved or lost, heaven-bound or hell-bound. It would be an interesting and valuable thing for you to check your ticket and see what it says. Your ticket is determined by the way that you live, by the things that you do. Here at the Monte Vista Church of Christ, we assemble for worship on Sunday mornings at 9:30, on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock, and on Wednesday evenings at 7 o'clock. We have Bible study. We have classes for all ages. We have an assembly that worships God. We sing together. We pray. We partake of the Lord's Supper. We give of our means. And we learn from God's Word those things that will prepare us for the final things about which we are speaking in this lesson. I hope that you will put into your itinerary a plan to come and visit us at this place. We're located on 40th Street, 2202 is our street number. Almost forgot that. Phoenix, Arizona, 2202 North 40th Street. That's between McDowell and Thomas Road. It's about three or four blocks north of McDowell Road. When you come, bring your Bible. Compare the things that you hear taught, the things that you see done. Compare them with the Scripture, because we are a body of believers that try to do everything according to the authority found in God's Word. When you come, you won't find mechanical instruments of music, because we don't find mechanical instruments of music authorized in the worship service in the church. When you come, you will find that the Lord's Supper is eaten every first day of the week, and we do that because the Scriptures teach that it should be done. You'll find that we give as we prosper because the Scriptures teach that it should be done that way. You'll find that we pray because the Scriptures teach us to pray, and we study God's Word because that's the example that we have in the Scripture of how to worship. So you see, the important things that lie before us need attention now. We need to be ready, because the last breath that we take may be today, and then the judgment. Thank you for listening. Thank you for joining me today. If you enjoy Bible-centered study, why not come visit the Monte Vista Church of Christ? We're located on the west side of 40th Street between McDowell and Thomas Roads. 2202 North 40th Street is our address. We have Bible classes for all ages each Sunday morning at 9:30 and each Wednesday evening at 7. Everyone interested in God's revelation to man is welcome. We also assemble for worship following our Sunday morning Bible classes, and then again on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. Until next time, this is Ken Leach, hoping you have unlimited opportunity to let your light shine for Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.